And there's that little voice telling me that recording is in progress. So as I was saying, we've been going along through these Kyra Jewel Lingo's lessons for moving through change, loss, and disruption. And I was thinking really throughout human history, periods of relative stability have been fairly short-lived. Impermanent. Human greed, hatred, and ignorance arise endlessly as one version of the four bodhisattva vows is translated, greed, hatred, and ignorance arise endlessly. We vow to end them. And add to that the complex interactions between us humans and the ecosystems upon which we are utterly dependent. And it becomes clear that we do need the capacity to live with impermanence, unpredictability, and uncertainty. So these are what the 10 lessons that Kyra Jewel Lingo gives us are for, kind of giving us that capacity, supporting that capacity. Our culture, or at least it was hard to make generalizations, but mainstream Western capitalist culture has conditioned us to expect that we can get what we want when we want it, as close to right now as possible. Even social and ecological justice protesters, if you have been out on a march, tend to chant, what do we want? Fill in the blank. When do we want it? Now. And it doesn't ever happen now, which leads to a great deal of frustration and sometimes discouragement, because we don't even need that big, long view and the capacity to sustain. And when things don't go the way we want, strong feelings can arise. Right? And we usually don't like those strong, intense feelings. We'd rather not have them. So we tend to deal with them in two basic ways, suppress them or express them. Right? Stuff them inside where they lodge in our belly, our heart, our muscles, our nervous system, constricting our capacity to respond flexibly and well to the world around us, or we let them just burst out of us, spilling toxins into our relationships and fueling further anguish inside us. So Kyra Jewel Lingo offers us another option in her next chapter. Her next chapter is called Caring for Strong Emotions, using mindfulness practice. She begins with a quote from her teacher, Thich Nhat Hanh, the beloved Vietnamese Zen master, who says, without mud, there is no lotus. Without suffering, there's no happiness. So we shouldn't discriminate against the mud. We have to learn how to embrace and cradle our own suffering and the suffering of the world with a lot of tenderness. And that's from his book called No Mud, No Lotus, The Art of Transforming Suffering. And he's making a reference that echoes for me a passage from the Vimalakirti Sutra, which we we studied in our practice period just last year. Some of you may remember this quote. The lotus does not grow on the upland plain, meaning the dry highland. The lotus grows in the mud and mire of a damp, low-lying place. In the same way, the Buddha Dharma can never grow in a person who has perceived the uncreated nature of reality, meaning someone who's already realized, wherever they are, not many of them in this world. It is only when living beings are in the midst of the mire of earthly desires that they turn to the Buddha Dharma. So it is our very anguish and distress that at the point that we can open and turn and apply the practice. But so often we're not even conscious of our own suffering. How many times have you heard somebody say, "I'm not mad," or "I'm not scared," or "I'm not jealous"? And you know they are. And you may have even said those things yourself on occasion. In Buddhist teachings about mind, there is the conscious mind, which includes what comes to us from our senses, and also what we construct through memory, foresight, intellect, emotion, what we are aware of in our mind. But then beneath all that, there's what's called our store consciousness, which is very like what in Western psychology is called the unconscious. And the store consciousness contains all the conditioned material that accumulates through our interactions in the world growing up without our being consciously aware of how we're being shaped and conditioned, and maybe also even what comes to us from previous generations, both through our genetic heritage and our epigenetic heritage. Epigenetics, for those of you who might not be familiar with that word, it describes the mechanisms by which our behaviors and our environment can change and affect the way our genes are activated. So genes can be triggered or activated by different circumstances in our environment and in our lives. And it's still a whole area of research and discovery of how what's passed from generation to generation and how it's more complex than we ever realized. So there's only so much. All this is going on beneath our conscious awareness most of the time. And of course, in our busy, distracted lives, we are even less aware of what's going on beneath the surface. But the simple practice of mindfulness can help us expand our capacity for awareness and consequently our capacity to speak and act in the least harmful, most beneficial ways we can in this difficult world. The store consciousness is often likened to a storehouse containing seeds. Seeds are planted in the course of our life experience. There might be a seed of anger or a seed of resentment or fear or envy planted early on, and then something triggers or fertilizes, waters that seed. But also there are seeds of kindness and generosity and patience sown. And so with awareness, we can choose what seeds we want to water, what seeds we want to nourish, and what seeds we don't want to nourish. If we keep feeding or nourishing the seeds of anger, resentment, fear, or envy, after a while, they'll grow into a kind of snarly vine that will strangle us, cut us off, keep us from breathing and living fully. So if we want to, you know, nourish the best seeds we can in our lives, the first step is simply to recognize what arises when an intense emotion arises. And to do this, we need to obviously pay attention. Kaira Duolingo gives us a 5-step model, but I'm going to also give you a 4-step model because it has such a nice acronym, RAIN, R-A-I-N, makes it easy to remember. recognize, accept, investigate, nurture, R-A-I-N. That was first coined by the Vipassana teacher, Michelle McDonald, who has, and this acronym has come to be widely used in many other non-Buddhist and therapeutic applications and contexts. So first R, recognize. To do that, we have to, as I said, pay attention to body and mind. What is this feeling? Where is it in my body? What does it feel like to be angry or scared? How do you know? Right? And what are the internal voices saying in your mind? How do you know what that internal state is? What would you call? And what do you call it? You know, there's everything from rage to anger to annoyance, you know, annoyance, mild annoyance. There's a whole spectrum. Where would you put your this state on that spectrum of aversion? So you can learn the cues for you of what a state is. This, of course, has been called emotional intelligence, and it's being taught in schools because we don't automatically know, right? It's something we have to learn. And if we don't learn it in childhood, we have to learn it in adulthood. How to articulate what our inner experience is, how to put it in words. So that's recognize. And with that comes can come a naming of that state. Although you don't want to worry about pinning down labeling too rigidly, because often anger, scratch the surface of anger, and there's grief or shame, you know, something a little deeper underneath. So we have to kind of feel our way into those states. And next comes A for accept, to really see, really listen to what's going on inside without suppressing, without reactively expressing or judging. And that's not so easy, is it? You know, if it's one of those states that you really, I thought I dealt with this 10 years ago. Here it is again. And we can judge ourselves partially, you know. So here's where Kyra Jewel-Lingo departs from the RAIN model, and I think perhaps for good reason. Here's where she inserts what she calls, the first two are recognize and accept, and then she inserts embrace. We have to hold those painful states with kindness and patience, the way a loving parent or grandparent would hold a distressed child at best. I mean, not all of us learned how to do it from our parents, how to do that, but at best, how a loving parent holds a distressed, angry, fearful child. Not stop that crying or I'll give you something to cry about. This is a different kind of embracing and caring. So that caring presence, when we learn to be with ourselves with that caring presence, that will actually extend our capacity to give that kind of caring presence to others who are in distress. Because those parents who said, stop that crying, or I'll give you something to cry about, were actually so uncomfortable with that child's distress because it triggered their own, that they had to shut it down. This has to stop. Right? So we need the capacity to hold it. And when we've calmed and settled and connected with our body and our breath, then we can open to R-A-I, investigate. Investigation or inquiry. Kyra Jewel-Lingo calls it looking deeply. This investigation part, looking deeply, and I might add, listening deeply to our deepest heart. And this is not an analytical seeing and listening, but rather an extension and a deepening of that mindful awareness, opening to insight that is felt, not just thought. So that's inquiry, open inquiry. What is this? What is this? And so then R-A-I-N, N is nurturing, applying self-compassion to this painful emotional state. And again, here I have to support Kyra Jewel Lingo's point that this may be needed earlier in the sequence, this nurturing application of kindness and patience, right along with recognition as soon as it's needed. In fact, as we do this practice, we may need to come back repeatedly to applying this kind of patient self-compassion. You can't micromanage insight and understanding. True, deep understanding has to come from deep within. So these step models and acronyms, just like so many step models, are just aids to help you remember these components. They don't have to be in a neat and tidy sequence. Recognition, acceptance, investigation, inquiry, nurturing, kindness. Just to remember those aspects so that you can engage this way of being, of building capacity. And we can do this practice right in the middle of our Zazen practice. You know, how many times have you been sitting, particularly if it's a longer retreat, and taken by surprise by the intensity of some state that arises, right? So we can do this right as we sit, instead of getting all frustrated and trying to force it away and say, I'm trying to meditate. Cut that out. But we can then extend that into daily life, that quality of presence with ourselves. Because this is a liberating practice that turns our very suffering into awakening. Those are the very points where we turn it, we wake up. So we could do a whole session on each of these various difficult emotional states. And a few years ago, I did a Wednesday night series where we took an evening on each, you know, anger, one on fear, grief. I forget which ones we did. We did what we did an evening on shame, which is under-recognized, or maybe just recently starting to be. People, I remember reading a quote where people would rather talk about their sex lives than shame. You know, we really don't like to feel shame. Yeah. But for now, just this evening, this is our theme. And I thought we could do a little guided meditation from her book. So I invite you to sit comfortably, find a comfortable position. And I'm going to ask you to close your eyes if you feel comfortable doing that. And I'm going to ask you to call to mind a recent, more or less recent, experience that was somewhat difficult or challenging. And please don't pick something that was really intense or horrible or traumatic for you. Pick something that feels manageable, that where an emotional reaction came up for you. And if at any point that feels like, whoa, this is a bit too much, please just feel free to stop, open your eyes, feel yourself sitting on your seat, Open your eyes to what's around you. Look at colors. Listen to sounds. Really ground yourself in this being here present. And move your body, stretch if you need to at any point along here. And then you can come back to the practice or not. So really feel that you're in control here. So to start, really feel your body settling on your seat. Feel the solidity of the earth, or the earth's gravity holding you in place. And let your body just sink and rest into this groundedness on the earth. And then feel your in-breath and your out-breath. Feel the natural flow of the breath without trying to control it at all. Let the breath breathe itself. Feel the movement of the air. And then just let your attention sweep down from the top of your body, just noticing any areas of holding or tension. Your face, your jaw, shoulders, your belly. Noticing any places where you just want to pause and breathe for a moment in that place. Just notice any differences, different parts of your body that might feel good or energetic or dull or even uncomfortable or painful, just noticing. You don't have to intervene, just attend down through your body all the way to your feet eventually. And then it can be helpful when you're doing this kind of practice to bring to the mind's eye a place or a person or maybe an animal that helps you to feel a sense of safety and connection. Be a place, a person, an animal. Image. Just sit breathing in and out with this sense of this feeling of safety and connection, whatever evokes that for you. And now, again, bring up, see what arises in terms of an experience that evoked an emotional reaction with some intensity. And again, not a really, really difficult one. And see what cues, in terms of your bodily sensations, in terms of mental content or narrative, the voice, what cues tell you what this state is? How do you recognize it? How would you name it, a state? What are some of its qualities? Heavy, hot, or cold, or sharp? Any ways that you would describe it? State. And so then staying with the state with a sense of openness, seeing it clearly, hearing clearly, just accepting that this is your experience. And of course, it's not fixed. Already it begins to shift, perhaps, because it's a memory, right? So openness, acceptance, and at any point, whenever it's needed, to bring in that sense of kindness and patience, of holding with kindness and patience. Connecting again always to your breath and your seat in place. And opening when you feel ready to this sense of, what is this? This sense of inquiry. Insight may or may not come. Hold the question open. What is this? A little deeper. What is this? And if it feels painful to look deeper, just pause, and then again, that holding with patience and kindness as you breathe in and out. This is the end of nurturing. A gentle, soothing rain. So this is a sequence that can repeat over and over and spiral back sometimes, many times as we integrate our life experience at deeper levels. Well, I would ring it and say ding, and thank you for trying this with me. And I'll just read you a paragraph from the book. We don't need to get rid of the weeds in us. In fact, they are essential. They become fertile compost for the garden of our mind. Mm-hmm. With mindfulness, anger can turn into compassion, greed into generosity, and ignorance into wisdom. These difficult emotions in us are like mud that is helping the lotus of awakening to grow. They have a fundamental place, and as we learn to work skillfully with them, they transform into exquisite flowers. So that is our lesson for the evening. Thank you, everybody. We have a little time left, and I think what we might just do, and I don't know, we'll let the Wall Street folks divide themselves up as works best, as well as the Zoom folks. And what I think we'll do is just let each person just briefly comment on what state is up for you these days. You know, what have you been noticing, and how do you feel this practice could be of benefit? Okay. Or any other observations from just the meditation, anything you'd like to share? And we'll just maybe each person just have a minute or two, and we'll go around the circle. Okay, so we'll pass it over to the Wall Street folks. And thank you, everyone. And Next week, we won't be meeting here, but Wall Street will be open if a couple of people over there are willing to host. Michael's got a thumb up, so that's thank you. Grateful to folks who are willing to keep the Wall Street Zendo open. And everyone else is welcome to Zoom in to the session Zoom link, which is on the events page for Sesshin, and join us in whatever way is going to work for you. So thank you, everyone, and see you upon our return.